Hi. Welcome to Lesson 6. This lesson concludes our practice with long documents. After learning in Lesson 4 the basic principles of preparing a long document, and then practicing the finer points of preparation in Lesson 5, you would think we've said everything possible about a long document. Well, almost. The title of this lesson is Finishing Techniques. We'll spend most of our time discussing and practicing automatic headers and footers, and then we'll work with the repagination instruction. Headers and footers are the titles, page numbers, and revision lines that appear at the top and bottom of a page. They add important information and a professional touch to a document. And page numbers are an obvious necessity. Once you discover how easy it is to use automatic headers and footers, you'll include them with almost every document you type. Repagination is the ultimate revision instruction. It's used after you revise a document when some pages end up with more lines than others. Quite often, a revised page will either have a gap at the bottom or too much text to fit on the page. The repagination instruction enables you to adjust the number of lines on each page or to repage the document. But repagination enables you to do much more than that. You can change the format so that the repaginated document has different margins or line spacing. You also can lock sections so they won't divide between pages during the repagination. You also can hyphenate while you're repaginating to make each line as tight as possible. And if you include automatic headers and footers, repagination adjusts the number of lines on each page so there's room for the header or footer when you print the document. All this from one instruction. You can see why we saved it until now. Figure 6-1 describes our lesson objectives and lists the materials and preparation we'll need. Turn to Figure 6-1, read through the objectives, gather the materials, and prepare now for the lesson. Stop the tape and do that now. Go ahead. Did you make a copy of the commercial lease document? Did you renumber the pages in consecutive order from 1 through 6? Okay, we're going to begin by discussing and practicing automatic headers and footers. Turn to Figure 6-2 and follow along with the examples during the discussion. Go ahead. The figure illustrates the five characteristics of a header. In Example 1, note that the header is wider than the text on the page. The two-line header is also single-spaced, but the text on the page is double-spaced. A header can, therefore, have its own format. Also note that the headers on the pages alternate text and page references according to the page sequence. One header appears on all odd-numbered pages, and another appears on all even-numbered pages. That way, when the pages are photocopied onto both sides of the copy paper and bound into a book, page 1 and all odd-numbered pages are right pages and show a page number on the far corner. Page 2 and all even-numbered pages are left pages and also show a page number on the far corner. Procedure or policy manuals, specifications, or long documents that are photocopied on both sides of the paper are usually typed with alternating headers. In Example 2, the header is in the same format as the text. The header includes the page number and the date of the document. The header also repeats on every page. As you can see from these two examples, a header can be typed in a different format or in the same format as the text. You can create a header with one line, two lines, or as many lines as you need. You can repeat a header on every page, or create a header for odd-numbered pages and one for even-numbered pages. And you can include the page number and the date you prepared the document. What about footers? Well, they have the same characteristics as headers. Turn to Figure 6-3 and follow the examples while we talk about footers. Go ahead. Just like a header, a footer can have a different format from the rest of the page. In Example 1, the margins for the footer are wider than the text. Usually, a footer is only one line, but if you want to type a longer footer, you may. As in Example 2, quite often a footer is nothing more than a page number. You can include the date in a footer. You can have an odd or even footer, or you can use the same footer on every page. Probably the most common characteristic of a footer is that it usually appears on a page that also has a header. Example 3 illustrates a header-footer combination. Why are we spending all this time talking about headers and footers? Well, first, they are probably an unconscious typing habit. You automatically begin each page of a long document by typing the header and end it by typing the footer. So this review reinforces what you already know. Next, even though typing a header or footer is an automatic operation, it requires careful planning when you first type a document. Third, and most important, you must pay special attention to the header or footer when you revise a document. For example, if you add or delete a page, you must adjust the page number in the headers or footers. And if you use an alternating header or footer, you must also change the header or footer formats. This brings up a problem. When do you type a header or footer? On the first draft, on the final copy only, or both? If you've been using a regular typewriter, you probably share a general tendency to wait until the final copy has been approved before typing the header or footer on the pages. By waiting, you don't have to worry about erasing or whiting out a header or footer if a last-minute change is necessary. Typing a header or footer is much easier with Scripcid than with a typewriter. In fact, you only type the header or footer once. The system then remembers to print it on each page and automatically prints the correct page number or date. Here's how it works. First, you type the document. Then you enter the Get instruction and ask for a header or footer page. For example, if you have a four-page document and want to type a header that will print on all four pages, you would get page 1, HS. The HS alerts the system that this page is a standard header, and the text you type on this page will appear at the top of every page in the document. Then you type the information that you want in the header. This header can be one or several lines. The format can be the same as the document or completely different. When you finish typing the page, record it by getting another page. Because the system records the header or footer page in front of the page it affects, page 1, HS, will come before page 1. Now, if you want a header or footer to include a page number, you type a code at the place where you want the page number to print. The page number code tells the system to number the pages consecutively. The code has three characters, the open brace, the capital letter P, and the close brace. If you haven't worked with the open and close brace, they are located next to the hold key on the keyboard. If you want a header or footer to include the date, you also type a code at the place where the date should print. The date code tells the system to print the date you entered when you loaded the program. The code has three characters, the open brace, the capital letter D, and the close brace. Figure 6-4 shows examples of headers and footers, and figure 6-5 summarizes the procedures for typing a header or footer. Review the information in these two figures, then come back and we'll discuss a practice exercise. Go ahead, review figures 6-4 and 5 now. For our practice with headers and footers, we're going to use your copy of the lease that you work with in Lesson 5. Once you open your copy at the lease and get to the working page, we're going to type a standard footer. Standard means the footer will appear at the bottom of every page. The footer will begin with a blank line and then the word page, followed by the page number code centered on the next line. Figure 6-6 lists the instructions. The figure also lists instructions you can use to add an alternating header to the lease. Read the instructions in the figure, open your copy of the lease, type the footer, and then print a copy of the lease. Go ahead. Do that now. Your printout should be numbered in consecutive order, and right now you should be thinking that typing headers and footers is really easy. And indeed it is. The system does all the calculations and keeps track of the correct position of the footer. Headers and footers are welcome additions to a document after you first type it, but repagination, the next finishing technique we're going to practice, is even better. Repagination changes the amount of information on a page. When you repaginate, you change either the number of lines on the page, the format of the page, or both. Turn to figure 6-7. And follow the illustrations while we talk about the reasons why you need to repaginate. Go ahead. The main reason you repaginate is to reorganize a document after you have revised it. The revisions can include deleted or inserted pages, paragraphs moved from one page to another, or blocks of text inserted or deleted from a page. When you delete or insert pages, the page sequence may then become disordered. When you insert, delete, or move blocks of text, a page may then have a different number of lines, some very short and others with too much text to fit on the page. Repaginating enables you to redistribute the number of lines on each page. Another reason you repaginate is to change the line spacing. In draft form, you usually type a document with double or triple spacing. But for the final copy, you should change to single spacing. Repaginating enables you to change the line spacing throughout a document and to replan the number of lines on each page. You can also repaginate to change a document format. You don't want to change the format very often, but repagination enables you to change the margins and tabs throughout a document. Yet another reason you repaginate is to tighten up the margins. If the right margin looks ragged and you want to hyphenate words at the end of the lines to tighten up the margin, repagination tells you where a word can be hyphenated. It then asks you if the hyphenation point is acceptable or if you want to change it. From the illustrations in Figure 6-7, you can see why repagination is considered the ultimate editing instruction. We're going to practice repaginating twice. The first time I'll help you, and the second time you can experiment on your own. Figure 6-8 describes the first practice assignment. Read the information in the figure, then open the green grass document and display the first page. Go ahead. The first page of the proposal ends with a page end code. It appears as a small bar, but in view mode, it appears as a specific character. The page end code tells the system to always end the page at this point, no matter how many times the document is repaginated. To type a page end code, you just press escape and then type a question mark. Remember, when you type the page end code, don't press enter or type anything else after the page end code. According to the information in Figure 6-8, we should single space the proposal, change from 25 to 50 lines per page, and hyphenate wherever possible. To do this, select the Repaginate utility. Begin by pressing Control, and without releasing Control, typing the letter U. Then type the letter R. Go ahead, press Control U, then type the letter R. The Paginate menu page contains four prompts that show the default responses. The first prompt asks you to enter the number of lines you want to appear on the page. This number includes the space for headers and footers, as well as the line spacing. The number you type indicates the total number of single-spaced lines that you want to fit on the page. For this practice, we'll keep the default response of 50 lines. So press Enter to move to the next prompt. Do that now. The second prompt asks whether or not you want to change the format. Here again, we're not going to change the margins or tabs for the proposal, so the N default response is correct. Press Enter to move to the next prompt. Go ahead. We do want to change the line spacing, and as you can see from the prompt, you have 8 different line spacings to choose from. We want to change to single spacing, so type the number 1 on top of the letter K. Go ahead. Do that now. The last prompt asks whether or not you want to hyphenate the document. The default response is N, for no. But because we do want to hyphenate, type the letter Y, then press Escape. Go ahead. After answering the 4 prompts, the system begins to repaginate the document according to your responses. Now, if you did not request hyphenation, the system would go through the document and redistribute the lines on the pages so that each page has 50 lines that would print single-spaced. Each page would appear on the screen briefly, and then when the repagination was finished, the first page of the document would reappear. When you do not select hyphenation, the entire repagination is automatic. But because we are going to hyphenate, you must become more involved in the repagination process. Right now, the cursor is positioned at the first hyphenation point, the word green. As you can see, the first three letters of the word appear highlighted, and a message appears at the bottom of the screen telling you how to proceed. The highlighted characters represent the number of characters that will fit at the end of the previous line. If you want to divide the word after the last highlighted character, you would press the F1 key. If you want to remove the highlighting from some of the characters, you would press cursor left. And if you unhighlight too many characters, you would press cursor right to put the highlighting back. If you don't want to hyphenate the word at all, you would press the down arrow key and the cursor would move to the next hyphenation point. Now, it shouldn't happen very often, but if you change your mind completely and want to cancel the repagination, you would press the break key. When you press the F1 key to hyphenate the word, the system moves the highlighted characters to the end of the previous line and inserts a machine hyphen after them. The rest of the word moves to the left margin, and the cursor appears at the next hyphenation point. A machine hyphen is a temporary or soft hyphen that the system inserts when a word is divided over two lines. It's different from a regular hyphen because the system will automatically delete it and rejoin the word if you make changes that affect the line. We'll talk more about machine hyphens in a few minutes. Let's get on with our practice. Press the cursor down key to move to the next hyphenation point. Go ahead. And now you can decide whether to hyphenate at this point, to change the highlighting and then hyphenate, or to skip hyphenating and go on to the next decision. One small warning about hyphenating. If you hyphenate a word incorrectly, the system will divide it, insert a machine hyphen, and go on to the next hyphenation point. You can't go back and fix the bad hyphenation point until after the document is repaginated. We'll practice correcting bad hyphenation breaks in a few minutes, so don't worry if you divide a word at the wrong place. Now, after you hyphenate about a page of text, the system will update the page. Any leftover lines will appear at the beginning of the next page, and the cursor will be positioned at the next hyphenation point. That was quite a long explanation about hyphenating, and once you practice, each variation will become clear. Finish hyphenating and repaginating the proposal on your own. Then we'll review our progress. Go ahead. Hyphenation is the only unique aspect about this first repagination practice. But there are some important details about repaginating that we should review and discuss. Figure 6-9 summarizes the repagination instruction. Read the summary in the figure, then we'll review step 5 again. Go ahead. The information in step 5 describes what happens when you answer a repagination prompt with a response different from the default response. The lines per page prompt is the key to the entire repagination process. The number you type here is what the system uses to calculate the length of each page. No matter how many times you have varied the line spacing on a page, or no matter if you've added a header or footer, the system will include these items in its calculation and save room on the page for them. You won't see the header or footer on each repaginated page, but the system has accounted for them. It subtracts the header or footer lines from the total lines per page number, and then uses the remainder to plan the text for the page. Each repaginated page will have the right amount of lines, because the system adjusts the number of lines for each page according to the different line spacing instructions for the page. In the document you just repaginated, the text was double-spaced, but when you repaginated it with 50 single-spaced lines per page, the system put 50 text lines on each page. The next prompt is important if you want to change the margins or tabs for the entire document. Now, usually, you'll plan the margins and tabs for a document and not worry about them again. But if you must increase or decrease the margins or change the tab settings, you would type the letter Y to answer this prompt. When you have answered the other prompts and pressed Escape to begin repaginating, a blank page with the default format line will then appear. A message above the format line will tell you to change the margins or tabs. After you have changed them and pressed enter, the document will be repaginated and the text adjusted to fit the new settings. The next prompt relates to the line spacing, and you should think carefully before you change it. If you type a new line spacing number, the system will change the line spacing for every paragraph in the document. If the document has paragraphs with varied line spacings, they will be changed to the new line spacing. So if you only want to change the line spacing for a few paragraphs, don't change this response. Instead, before you repaginate, get the pages on which you want to change the line spacing, change the spacing, and then repaginate with the default response that keeps the document's original line spacing. Since we have already practiced hyphenating, we aren't going to review it again now. But we are going to talk about how to override the repagination instruction in order to keep blocks of text from being divided and keep blocks of text from being reformatted when they are repaginated. Turn to figure 6-10 and read the instructions for our next practice exercise. After you read the instructions, go back to the directory, open your copy of the lease document, and display the first page of the lease. Go ahead. Read figure 6-10, then open the lease. To refresh your memory, this lease is a contract or a legal agreement between a landlord and a tenant. The contract describes the property, identifies the landlord and tenant, and then defines the terms of the contract. Some of the pages in the lease have indented notes, which highlight a key point of the agreement. To review the format for these indented notes, get page 3, and watch how the margins in the status line change when you move the cursor to one of the indented notes. Take the time now to look through the pages in the lease and pay attention to the places where the margins change. Go ahead. Do that now. When we repaginate the lease, we're going to change the margins. But following the instructions in Figure 6-10, we're going to keep the indented notes indented. The indented notes should never divide between pages either. If the entire note won't fit at the end of a page, it should be moved to the beginning of the next page. To keep the format unchanged and to keep a section of text together are the two reasons why you should instruct the system to lock sections of the document. Locking a section tells the system to treat the locked text differently when the document is repaginated. During repagination, a locked section will never be reformatted or divided. The instruction to lock text is built into the define prompts. So to begin the instruction, you would press Control, and without releasing Control, you would type the letter D. The define prompt line will appear, and on the right side of the prompt line, you'll see the word lock. Then you highlight the paragraphs you want to lock, and type the letter L to lock them. You can verify a locked section by looking at the status line. Every time the cursor is positioned in a locked section, an asterisk will appear after the margin settings. Figure 6-11 summarizes the lock instruction. Read the summary, then go through the lease and lock the indented paragraphs. Also, lock the signature block at the end. When you finish, repaginate the lease according to the instructions in Figure 6-10. Go ahead. Do that now. We've experimented with changing the line spacing and format while we repaginated two documents. We've also hyphenated a document while it was repaginated. This is such a powerful instruction, and it has so many variations, be sure you understand it. If these two practices weren't enough for you, take the time now, or at the end of the lesson, to work with repagination until you feel comfortable about how it reorganizes a document. Well, now, we have one more instruction to talk about, and then the lesson will be over. Suppose that while you're working with a document, you notice that some of the lines in a few paragraphs on a page are kind of ragged. How would you adjust these lines? You could repaginate the document and select the hyphenation prompt to adjust these lines, but you would have to hyphenate the entire document. When you only have a few paragraphs on a page that you want to adjust, there's no need to repaginate and hyphenate the entire document. Instead, define the paragraphs and hyphenate them while you're typing or revising the page. Here's what to do. Position the cursor at the beginning of the text you want to hyphenate. Then press Control, and without releasing Control, type the letter D. Sounds familiar so far. Control D displays the defined prompts, and on the right side of the line you'll see the word hyph for hyphenate. Highlight the amount of text you want to hyphenate by pressing P for paragraph or B for below, then type the letter H. The cursor will move to the first hyphenation point within the block, and a prompt will appear at the bottom of the screen telling you how to proceed. You press cursor left or right to change the highlighting on the characters. You press F1 to hyphenate, cursor down to go on to the next hyphenation point, and break to cancel hyphenating. The prompt message and the procedures to hyphenate are exactly the same as when you hyphenate during repagination. The only difference is that you're hyphenating a defined block of text on one page rather than through the entire document. Figure 6-12 summarizes this hyphenation instruction. Review the figure. Then, define a block of text on one of the pages of the lease and hyphenate wherever possible. Go ahead. Do that now. We've come to the end of a busy lesson and also to the end of our work with long documents. In Lesson 7, we're going to learn about preparing repetitive letters, a very common word processing application. Okay, go ahead now and delete your copy of the lease document and the green grass document. If you're not going to practice and are not going to begin Lesson 7 right away, display the directory, select the End Session utility, remove the Scriptset diskette, and turn the system off. If you're going to begin Lesson 7 now, keep the system on and keep the directory on the screen. Don't forget to review the list of features and terms in Figure 6-13. These features and terms are quite important. Be sure you're comfortable with them before you go any further. That's it for now. See you in Lesson 7. Fast forward the tape. This is the end of Lesson 6.